Glory to God. Isn't Jesus wonderful? Okay, if you're new, it's all the time is the answer. Isn't Jesus wonderful? Now, you know, we mentioned the students here. Now, this is not a student church. This is a community church. We just have the privilege of having these students with us for a while, and they have the privilege of being part of our family for a while they're going to Bible school. You know, some people in this town think that this is just a Bible school. But no, it's a church. It's a Bible school. It's a worldwide ministry. We got a lot of stuff going on around here. Yeah. Sometimes I had one guy told me just the other day, he said, "Man, y'all don't publicize enough what all y'all do." I said, "Well, I found out a long time ago, most of the people that are talking, they're not doing it, all everything they're talking. We just do it and somebody else can talk about it." That's the way I feel about it. Hey, I want to talk to you tonight about raising your level of expectation. Now, have you ever had somebody say, "Hey, hold out your hand, and, I got something for you"? The minute they said that, you immediately started to expect to receive something, right? Amen. It might have been just a piece of trash, but that you expected to receive something because they said, "Hold out your hand, I got something for you." In other words, your expectation was based upon their words. You know, sometimes parents will tell their kids, "Hey, if you get all of this yard work done and you get this done and that done, then we'll do such and such." Now, after they're told that, those kids expect, when they finish, they expect to receive. How many parents that I have in here have you ever told your kids that? Let me see your hand. How many of you, they expected when they got through, they expected to get what you said? Is that right? You know, as an instructor in the Bible school, I don't give my test anymore, somebody else does, I just teach. But when I used to have to do the test, I would tell them, "Now, as soon as you finish this test, you can turn it in and you can leave." Now, they expected when they finished to turn the test in and leave the classroom, right? Anybody here ever, your boss ever told you you're going to get a promotion? I got a few people got their hands up. Anybody ever been told they're going to get a raise? And you expected on the next pay period, you expected to see that raise. Or if you were told you were going to get a promotion, you expected to receive it. You know, somebody said life is a series of expectations, expecting to receive either good or bad. You know, some people, that's all they do is expect. Some people, they are so pessimistic that all they ever expect is something bad. You ever seen anybody like that? And then you got other people that are optimistic, you know, and they're always looking at life expecting good things. You know, actually, as we look over in Acts chapter 3, you see here that Peter and John, verse 1, "Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man was lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms or ask for money from those who entered the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go in the temple, asked for alms. Fixing his eyes upon him with John, Peter said, 'Look on us.'" Now look at verse 5. "So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them." He was expecting to receive. Now, he probably at that moment thought that it was going to be money. But then Peter said, "Hey, I don't have any money." But you know what? He still kept expecting, and Peter gave him what he had. Now, we need to expect the Heavenly Father to help us more than our earthly father does. Hello. In Matthew 7:11. And I see on the screen there, we need one approved worker in the children's area. So somebody please respond and help them out with the children. We appreciate that. Thank you. Matthew 7:11. Find it on your iPad, your iPhone, or your device, your tablet, your Bible, whatever you have there. All right. Everybody found Matthew 7? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who pray? Ask. If you ever notice reading the Word of God, you'll find out that if you want to receive, you got to ask. Amplified version of that same verse says, if you then, evil as you are, know how to give good and advantageous gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven, perfect as he is, give good and advantageous things to those who keep on asking him? Keep on asking. Then the contemporary English says this: as bad as you are, you still know how to give good gifts to your children, but your heavenly Father is even more ready to give good things to people who ask. If you don't ask, you're not going to get. Don't look at me like that. This is what the Bible says. In fact, another place says, ask and you shall receive. Hello? You know, now most earthly fathers has helped their kids and grandkids all they can. I know I'm in that position. I do that. You know, I got five grandsons from 21 to 11, and I think their parents put them up to it. My son and my daughter. Because if they want something, they call Poppy. Poppy, I need new cleats. Poppy, I need a new bat. Poppy, I need my the younger one now, he's, you know, he's not in school ball yet, but he's in football in the Indian Nation Conference here. And I need new shoulder pads. I need new helmet. You know what Poppy says? Okay. Why? Because I love those boys. And if it's within my power, I'm going to make it happen for them. Do you know what? That's exactly the way God is, our Heavenly Father. And it's in his power to give us everything he said here if we expect him to and ask him for it. You know, when I was 15 years old, I contacted an ear condition in my left ear. And they said that it was some kind of fungus that lives in damp climates. And at that time, we were living in Port Arthur, Texas, which if anybody's from Texas knows that the main street of Port Arthur used to be right at sea level or below sea level. In fact, the Woodrow Wilson Junior High School, where I was going to junior high, you had to get in the second floor before you could see over the dike because of the there. And they said it was some kind of fungus that some of the soldiers had brought back in World War II off of the South Sea Islands, and that I should never, ever again live in a damp climate, that I needed to move to out in the desert, somewhere out in the desert of California, Arizona, somewhere out there in the desert, and that I never should put my head underwater again, don't get any water in that ear, blah, 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 and on they went. And so, you know, I went to Dad because that's what I had done all my life. I went to Dad expecting him to pray and I'd be fine. Well, he prayed, nothing happened. So I went to the doctor and they told me what it was. I told you already. And he gave me some of this, he stuffed that stuff, cotton down my ear, and gave me some of this chartreuse medicine that I was supposed to keep in there all the time. And, you know, and so I listened to Dad teach all my life about faith and believing God. But, hey, Dad always did it for me. Anytime I had anything, it didn't make any difference. Any of us in the family had anything. I mean, even his cousins and his uncles and, you know, his mother's brother and all of them, they call Uncle Ken. Call Uncle Ken. He'll pray for you and you'll get healed. Everybody expected it. And I'd done that too all my life. I just expected him to pray and it to happen and nothing happened. So he got to praying about it because he said, man, I can't defend. And he came back home and I told him I need to go see the doctor because I said, don't take a minute. I just run up there and he takes this thing and he twists and these little blades come out and he pulls all this mess out of my ear and then he restuffs it with that, you know, a piece of cotton about that long. Some of you got it. And he soaked it in this chartreuse looking oil stuff and I had a bottle of it. And, you know, so I come down, jump back in the car. Hey, now you got to remember, I'm 15. It's 1954, I think. And, you know, I sat down there. I got my shirt sleeves rolled up, my white T-shirt. I got my Levi's on and my penny loafers. And I got my flat top with my sides combed up. Hey, I was a typical 50s teenager. I got anybody in here old enough that was a teenager in the 50s that knows what I'm talking about? I don't see anybody with their hand up. How many? Oh, is there somebody over? Oh, there's one over. You know what I'm talking about then, huh? All right. And if I had enough hair, I'd still have a flat top. I love flat tops. But I don't have enough hair to do that with anymore. And I got my arm hanging out the window, you know, like we did, and that day, you know, it was December, and it was a beautiful day down there in South Texas, you know, and about 70, 80 degrees, something like that, 75. And so Dad, he said, well, I've been praying about it. I did. You want to get healed? And so I said, well, sure, you know that. He didn't say nothing else. Finally, I said, are you going to tell me anything? And he said, I thought you never would ask. I wonder if God is like that with us sometimes. I wonder, he said, he got an answer for us, but I wonder if he said, aren't they ever going to ask? So he told me what to do, and so I did it, and I got healed. In fact, when I went in the Army in 62, this ear that was supposed, I wasn't supposed to be able to hear good out of it and so forth, I did the hearing test. They said, man, they said, your left ear is a whole lot stronger than your right ear. I didn't bother to tell them that. They told me I wouldn't hear a good out of that ear. But, you know, but see, too many people are locked in the cage of their circumstances, and some of them lack the knowledge of knowing to ask God. So they can't have any expectation. But we that know better should all of the time, every day, be expecting God to do for us exactly what he says right here in his word. Anybody ever know, hear of a man by the name of T.L. Osborne? I knew him personally. He said in his book, How to Enjoy Plenty, when the mind perceives God's abundance and begins to comprehend that he created the wealth of this earth for the blessings of his children, the walls of mental enslavement begin to crumble and the rainbow of God's plenty appears. When you really begin to comprehend what God has done for you, and you can begin to ask, all of the other stuff falls away. You know, the biggest problem most of the time is that a lot of God's people don't know. I mean, they got saved. Some of them even filled with the Spirit. But they don't know how good God really is. They don't know what good things are there for them. They don't know how willing God is to bring to them his abundance. Turn to your neighbor and say, God wants you to have abundance. But you got to ask. Now, I want to ask you a question. What do you really expect from God as you walk this life? What do you really expect? Well, I can tell you what I expect. I expect God to do for me exactly what I ask for that he tells me that is mine in the Word. That's what I expect. You know, with children, I talk about children, you got children, and you tell them, you say, hey, there's the kitchen, there's the food. Now, you expect them when they get older. Now, when they're younger, you have to do it for them. But when they get older, you expect them to go get their own food. I mean, you know, you're sitting in a chair. You got a 10-year-old boy there. And he said, Daddy, can I have a Coke? Yeah, go get it. That's the way God is. He expects us to grow up and to begin to go. Now, when we were first born again, you ever notice how easy it was for all the stuff to happen? Anybody ever notice that? Like a kid in a candy store. But did you ever notice after a little while you got to going to reading the Word and going to church, did you ever notice that it didn't seem to happen so easy? You know why? Because he expected you to grow up and to get into the Word and start to ask him for what he said has belonged to you. You know, you got a son, you tell him, okay, you make such and such a grades in school this semester, and I'm going to buy you such and such. Now, whenever he does that, when he comes and asks for what you've already promised him, is he demanding of you, or is he asking and expecting what you have already promised? Huh? He's not demanding of you. He is simply asking and expecting to receive what you have already promised him. That's, some people say, oh, you can't order God around. No, not any of us going to order God around. But I tell you what we can do. We can go to him just like we do an earthly father and ask for what he said that he was going to give us and what belongs to us and expect to receive it. No, that's a mistake that some people get into. Now, the action here, that 7:11, Matthew 7:11 there, it says, if we know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more will he give to those who ask? There are a lot of people that know that God's good and know that he's promised them something, but they say, well, I'll never get anything. And I say, have you asked him? Well, no. He said he'd give us good things. I said, yeah, but did you read the rest of that verse? Those who ask. You know, if you go in a store and you're in the store and you see something that you want, but it's in a locked case. Okay? You can stand there all day and look at that locked case, but you're not going to get anything till you ask that clerk and they get a key and they unlock it and take out whatever you want. You have to ask. It's there for you. That's what it's there for. It's there for you to purchase. But you can stand and look at it all you want. Man, that's really a nice knife. Man, I'd like to have that, you know. Man, you know, I don't know where I come from down in Texas. Everybody carries a pocket knife. I got any Texans here besides me? Have you any guys? Have you got a pocket knife? How many of you guys grew up and your dad said, hey, a man always has a pocket knife? How many of you got one? Yeah. You know, I could go there and I could see one that I'd like. And usually they're in locked containers nowadays. They lock glass cases or a gun or something like that. You can sit there and dream about that and think about that and tell everybody that walks by what a nice weapon that is or what a nice knife that is and what it would do and how you could have it. Maybe it's a fillet knife that you need when you're filleting your fish that you've caught. You know, you can talk about it. You can tell everybody about it. But until you ask that clerk, it's going to stay in that counter. Am I right or wrong? You know what? You can talk to people and you can tell them about all the promises of God and you can talk to them about it. But until you ask, you're not going to receive. In fact, I know a man. One time there was a group of us. We were going, we all worked together and we were going to go to a ball game, baseball game. And so this one guy was saying to this other guy, he said, man, I really want to go, but I don't have the money. This guy preached him a mini sermon about how to believe God and get the money. Okay? Ask God and so forth. Now, come time to receive the money. So the one guy that was going to go get all the tickets and everything, all the rest of us, even the guy that didn't have any, but the other guy told him, hey, this is how you get the money. You ask God for it, blah, 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 blah. This guy said, I sure didn't want to go, but I ain't got no money. And he told the other guy how to ask God and get it. See, you can know all about it. You can even tell somebody else how to ask God to get it and not get it yourself. See, you can stand there and look at that case where that stuff is you want, and other people can walk up and tell the clerk, hey, I want this. They get it for them. I want this. Until you open your mouth and ask for it, you're not getting it. You're not getting nothing. Everybody else come up and got it. And see, sometimes Christians, well, I don't understand. Man, I've been saved longer than they have. And look what they're getting. It don't matter how long you've been saved. You can be saved 24 hours and ask God and he'll give it to you. And somebody can be saved 24 years. And if you don't ask God, you ain't getting it. Now that's good old Southern Texas talk there. I should have said, you're not going to receive it. That would be more proper. Okay. You know, Billy Graham, one of his quotes was, heaven is full of answers for which no one is ever bothered to ask. That's a good statement. I won't say it again. Billy Graham said this. Heaven is full of answers for which no one has ever bothered to ask. Whoa. That's a powerful statement. See, asking is the divinely ordained of God. James 4:2. I still got plenty of time, okay. I'm going to let everybody turn. See, the reason you're having a hard time going to James because you don't go there very often. Because it's not one of those books that you read that pumps you up a whole lot. It sort of reprimands you. Sort of says, hey, get in line. Get lined up, bud. All right. James 4:2 said, you lust and do not have, you murder and covet and cannot obtain, you fight in war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. See, you don't get something from God because you lust after it. By having a consuming, out of control desire for it. You don't get something for God by coveting it or murdering. Today, some people might not murder somebody physically, but we kill their reputation to get what they have. You do not get what you desire from God by fighting and, again, warring against each other. You get what you want from God by asking. Don't get jealous of what somebody else is getting. They asked for it and got it. Go ask yourself. I've had people come to me, I just think I understand. I can't understand why they're always getting stuff. I said, you ever stop to think they asked God for it? Well, God knows I need it. Well, he may know you need it, but you're not going to get it till you ask for it. Just like Dad, he knew I needed that information, got to get my healing, but he didn't say a word till I asked him for it. God, how many times in the Word did it say, ask and you shall receive? Hello. Now, I want it real quick here. I've got about 5 minutes. I want to give you 6 practical ways to raise your expectation level with God. 6 practical ways to raise your expectation level with God. All right? Number one, maintain a diet of God's Word. Meditate on scriptures that talk about the goodness of God. Continually think on scriptures that tell you who you are in Christ. Remind yourself continually of the scripture that covers what you're asking for. See, if you need healing, it doesn't do any good to quote scriptures on finances. Don't look at me like that, but that's what some people do. Now, number 2, spend time praying in the Holy Spirit. Spend time praying in the Spirit. He will tell you things to do to help you. He will show you things to come so that you can get ready to receive them or to miss a disaster. Hello, that's the truth. You know, I know a man that had a car wreck, serious car wreck. And he told me, he's another preacher. They're both in heaven now. Dad's up there and he's up there. But he told my dad went to the hospital to see him, probably when this is years and years ago, back when I was a teenager. He went to the hospital and he said, Brother Hagin, he said, if I'd have listened to the Holy Spirit, I wouldn't have been out there on that highway. He said, something on the inside of me told me, don't go. Don't go. And I said, oh, that's just me. That's just my thinking. And I went on, got in the car anyway. Head-on collision. Almost took his life. You see, you got, if you pray in the Holy Spirit and with the Holy Spirit, he'll tell you things to do to receive, and he'll tell you things not to do so you don't get in trouble. Come on now. Now, number 3, this is an important one too. All of them are important, but this is really important. Hang around those who will encourage you. You can't hang around with doubters and unbelievers and expect to receive from God because they will pull you down. You may not think so, but they do. That's why, man, I tell everybody all the time, you work out there in the world, you're touching, you're out there, and junk is going on all the time. That's why you need, that's why the Bible says, forsake not the assembling yourself together. That's what the Bible talks about. When the saints come together, they strengthen one another. Hello. Come on now. Anybody with me? Someone said, encouragement is the oxygen of the soul. You know, encouragement, man, how refreshing it is when somebody gives you an encouragement in the middle of a difficulty. Hello? See, we all need people to encourage us, and we need to be encouragers. You know, it wasn't too long ago on Wednesday night, I preached a message, oh, it's been a few weeks ago, about being, are you a complainer or an encourager? Anybody remember that message I preached? It just a few weeks ago. Now, number four. Remember what you have received from God in the past or what God has done for you before and realize if he done it once, he'll do it again. Remember how God provided for you, how he protected you. Relive the times when God helped you to accomplish something that everybody else said it's impossible. All right, number five. Here we go. And I got 1 minute. See, I'm pretty good at sticking with my clock here. Number five, read stories of those who have received from God. That's why some of the stories in the Old Testament, the stories of the apostles, the stories of Paul, they show you how God helped others and how he's willing to help you if you'll ask. You know, seeing how others persevered until they received will help you to be steadfast and stand strong. You know, inspiration that you get from reading those Bible stories will give you the expectation. God did it for those three Hebrew boys. God did it for Abraham. God did it for Isaac. God did it for Jacob. God did it for Peter. God did it for Paul. He'll do it for me. God did it for the church at Ephesus and the church at Thessalonica and the Corinthian church. He'll do it for me. Come on now. All right, number six. Find, or maybe we say it this way, get into a corporate atmosphere where there's faith. Don't go somewhere where they're not preaching faith. Go where there's a corporate atmosphere of faith. When Peter and John in chapter 4 of Acts, we read chapter 3, they got put in jail because they healed the man there at the gate that we read about. But I want you to notice that they were encouraged when they went to where their people were, and there was faith. Because they had been told, don't preach. The Sanhedrin wouldn't even mention the name of Jesus. They said, don't preach no more in that name. And then they went to their own group, and they were there in their own group, and they began to pray, Lord, give us boldness that we be more, I'm going to paraphrase it, 2015, give us boldness to be more powerful, to speak in your name. See, but now just the two of them, they've been beat down, but they got there where there was the corporate body, built them up. We're not made to stand alone. We're part of the body of Christ. By regular attendance, coming together, there become in an atmosphere such as this, there becomes an expectation. God's going to see me through. God can help me. When we hear a testimony, a praise report from somebody. When we sing in the songs, only believe. That's an old one, but man, I like it. Only believe. All things are possible, only believe. And then, Lord, I believe. See, you got to come back on the other side. It's one thing to say, I only believe. Another thing to say, Lord, I believe. Hello. You know, just a little exhortation here. I believe if you lift your eyes of faith up toward God, instead of looking at your circumstances, you'll see what God has for you. And then you'll be able to ask him, Lord, here's what I need. Thank you for it. And start praising him and watch the blessing come. Because as you begin to look to him and begin to quote his word, he will respond to his word. He will respond to someone asking. Just as earthly parents respond to children asking, I will respond to my children when they ask, and I will give them what they ask for, says the Lord. Hallelujah to Jesus. Glory to God. I started out there with just my own thoughts and ended up saying some more with the Holy Spirit. Hey, you got to learn how to do that. All of you can do it. You can speak to yourself in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs in your own prayer life. Hallelujah. Well, anybody get anything out of this tonight? Get your level of expectation up. Don't let the meter go low. Keep it up there on the high side all the time. Don't let it fall back. Keep it up there. If it starts to fall back, get in the word and get it back up there. Everybody stand. Heavenly Father, I thank you tonight that we've spoken to these people for a few minutes about expecting what you said you would do for them in the word. I thank you tonight that as we expect and ask what you have said in your word will become a part of our life. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you tonight. Listen, if you happen to be here and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, as we dismiss, I want you to come down here. The ladies here and the guys are over on this side. And they'll pray with you and you won't leave here like you came. If you know that you're not exactly where you should be with God and you need to rededicate, come down here and pray for them. If you just go to church and you don't know whether you've ever accepted Christ or not, come down here and pray with them. You'll know before you leave. If you need prayer for anything, for any reason, come down here and pray with them. They'll pray with you and we'll believe God that it will happen. If we ask, we can expect, right? Praise the Lord. Right here, Sunday morning, 10 o'clock, 9 o'clock, School of the Bible. That's where a big church becomes small. We have the small groups, School of the Bible. This coming 9 o'clock, you say, well, I don't know where to go. Well, there'll be some people out in the lobbies that can tell you exactly where to go. And so come for that. 10 o'clock, regular morning worship right here. Praise the Lord. Turn around, shake hands with somebody and say, I'm going to keep my expectation level up. How about you? God bless. Oh, connection team. Hold it. Wait a minute. I'm sorry. Connection team, go find those first-time guests and take them there to get that special gift that we have for them. Praise the Lord. Praise God. All right, now you can go. Praise the Lord. We'll see you Sunday. If you need prayer for any reason, salvation, rededication, no soul experience, infilling of the Holy Spirit, healing, prayer for any reason whatsoever, come to the front. They'll pray with you right now. God bless you. We'll see you Sunday.